hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, October 8, 2007. And Rick in Nevada, you know, I'd heard a lot of people talking about Edna Lane Brown. I've just been sitting back and I've been listening to the conversations. I don't read the blogs that much. If there's something particularly interesting or unusual, somebody will bring it to my attention. I don't spend a whole lot of time surfing the internet, and I am not a prisoner of the blogs. I've seen so many people waste so many hours of their lives on a keyboard with a computer screen stuck in front of their face. You may be, in your own mind, Rick, you may be right about, you know, what's the percentage of showing a 50 caliber rifle? You know, you and I sitting there looking at something like that might say, you know, well, you know, that's not the PR that you want to put out there. But it is in people's hearts and minds that what makes the First Amendment work is the Second Amendment was put not in the fourth spot or the seventh spot or the tenth spot behind the freedom of religion, of assemblage, of movement, of all of those, freedom of speech, that it was designed. The amendments of the Constitution was designed to put that Second Amendment right behind the First in case they ever wanted to monkey with that. And what have we seen them doing, Rick? Protesters being put on little hot sheets, turned into feds. I told everybody about the TSA and what their plans are, and I do believe this is starting next month, that the no-fly list, you're going to have to be approved by the government in order to use publicly available transportation. Now, this individual, and I have not seen it for myself, Rick, but this individual had a picture of a 50 caliber rifle on this webpage, and in what context was that in?
Well, the context of it was I got the impression that that gun was going to be moved into the home of Edna Lane Brown. That's the message that was conveyed to me.
Okay.
And if that's the message that the feds are getting, that brings unnecessary heat down on the whole program.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
Okay.
And as we see, the result is the arrest of Sereno Gonzalez along with the other four who supposedly aided and abetted.
Yeah. And Rick, what would you have done differently in this? First of all, let's make sure that we're on the same page here. Ed and Lane Brown were sentenced in a federal court. Well, Ed wasn't there to hear his own sentence. His wife, Elaine, was. And they went back to their property, what they built with their own two hands and their sweat, knowing full well that they're facing a 63-month sentence and that they probably wouldn't walk out of that place alive. What exactly would you have done differently? Would you have gotten together and sung Kumbaya? You see where I'm going? I'm not being facetious,
but I would have got on a website and say, "Hey, I'm going to bring my 50 cal over to your house." You know?
Well,
that's just not smart.
Well, and you know what? My Rick Stanley is now sitting in a federal prison. And Rick Stanley wanted everybody to go out to Denver and all wear sidearms. And I told Rick right to his face, I said, I don't think that's a very good idea. But it comes down to a point, Rick. Skip that break. The hell with that break. It comes down to a point where these people's backs were up against the wall. I mean, they were 67 and 65 years old. Now, I don't know what the average life expectancy out there in Nevada is, but for the average human being in America now, I think it's about 73 years old, maybe a little bit longer for women. And this is basically a death sentence. And if Ed and Elaine Brown do get out in their older age and they're still alive, they're not going to have anything to come home to, and they knew that. The feds claimed that Ed and Elaine Brown owed the United States government $1.6 million, and they were tax evaders. They were sitting on their property. One of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to go to jail or they're going to be dead. In either case, the property they were sitting on was no longer theirs.
Another thing I would have done differently, I wouldn't have had quite the open door policy. I don't think I would have had anybody at that house that I hadn't known all my life.
Here again, Ed and Elaine Brown were doing something that I'd never seen any other quote-unquote tax protesters do, and that's do a radio program while you're under imminent siege of the feds. That by and large, what they were after was the edification of people. They were after people to wake them up, and if it cost them their lives, it was their lives in which to give. If anything happened to Ed and Elaine Brown, Rick, you sing in Nevada, how would that have affected you?
If they'd been killed or...
Yeah, or, yeah. Or anything.
Well, it's already affecting me, or I wouldn't be bothering to call you today. I have a lot of admiration
It's affecting you.
I have a lot of admiration for Ed and Elaine Brown and their courage.
And there were things that I wanted to do that were different. I had different ideas. I had some ideas that were not allowed to be put forth, that somehow a press conference standing in front of paid whores was a better idea than taking Randy Weaver in tow and going to see Judge McAuliffe, going to see the Sullivan County Sheriff, talking about maybe getting a grand jury, a state grand jury together to look in to what the Fed had actually done and what these two people of Plainfield were convicted of.
Well, that Sheriff Prozo's a spineless SOB, isn't he?
Well, he is what he is, but we have a lot of spineless ones in this country, and whether it be over a tax issue or any other issue, it is our fault, not my fault in particular, directly attributable to Sullivan County, this guy being in the seat of county sheriff.
If I understand the history of armed struggle if you talk about the world history of armed struggle, the way it's going to come down in this country like it has in any armed struggle before, is there's going to come a point where people are tired of drawing the line in the sand and they're simply ready to take up the arms, and they're going to do it more or less spontaneously and in large numbers. And it's not going to be a leader or a small cadre of leaders who are the main force behind it. They're going to appear to be out in front, but if they're not running fast enough, they're going to get run over by those who are armed.
And for those that aren't, leave food on the porch.
Keep going, man.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate your call.
Take care.
All right. Is Rick in Nevada the only one with guts enough today to get on the air and say what they're thinking? Look at the numbers. You people are plugged in out there. Have you nothing to say? Do you have fear or trepidation about voicing yourself? Are you scared? Tony Myrick from Dallas, Texas, he does a program, Transmission from Mars with Dr. Phobos. Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. And he's got on here Channel 1, Houston, Texas, HD Channel 1. He wrote a poem about Ed and Elaine Brown here without mentioning specifically. But you will understand the implications of this. And he titled the poem, Another Star Fell. Another star fell from the blue sky today, one by one until there were none. because no one cared enough to make their patriotic play, and yet another star fell from the blue sky. One by one, until there was none. Another American citizen was tossed in jail today. One by one, until there were none. Because no one cared enough to make their stand this day, another star fell from the blue sky. One by one, until there were none. Another citizen's property was seized today. One by one, until there were none. Because no one gave a tinker's damn today, and another star fell from the blue sky. One by one, until there were none. Another star fell from the blue sky today, one by one, until there were none, along with the red stripes of valor and hardiness, and the white of innocence and purity formed, a pool of blood red, and washed away today, drop by drop, one by one, until there were none. The last star fell from the former blue sky today, one by one, until there were none, because no one gave a tinker's damn about the red, white, and blue. All that was left was a white flag of surrender, true, because one star to fall from the sky that one unholy day. A lot of people are under the impression, as long as I keep my head down and I just don't make too much noise, or I don't voice my opinion, or I don't, you know, I don't stand up, that somehow that this darkness is just going to bypass me, and I'll see another sunny day starting with a beautiful dawn, and I can enjoy a few more sunsets out there. Would this country be here today if that were the attitude of the founding fathers, of the citizenry, the common man and woman that had enough of tyranny and stepped out of that shadow and struck upon the forge of righteousness and freedom and liberty for all, folks? This country. And how are you paying tribute to the people that have literally laid their lives down for this country? How have you paid tribute and homage to them? By remaining silent? By ducking your head? I've got nothing. Oh, there we go. All right. Tomorrow that star might be you. Folks, that might be you. And I'm sure you don't care if nobody notices your passing, because you were just a little chicken crap today, weren't you? You sat by and you watched other people go down, and, well, you didn't get involved because it wasn't your business, and you didn't want to bring any heat down upon yourselves, or you didn't want to bring the scorn of your boss or your coworkers or your neighbors down on you for, you know, just this crazy stuff you keep talking about. Freedom, liberty, justice. The things that make a man's life worth living. Those things. You couldn't be bothered with them today, could you? Because it would have brought unnecessary heat upon you. Sheldon in Arizona. Hello, Sheldon. Sheldon, are you with me?
Me?
Go ahead.
Hello? Hey. Hi, John. I think I found this quote you were looking for by former Attorney General Janet Reed. It was publicized on national TV back on June 26, 1994. And back at that time, she had defined terrorists as cultists. She said, quote, "A cultist is anyone who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of giving to Christian causes, who homeschools their children, who have accumulated survival foods and have a strong belief in the Second Amendment and distrust big government. Anyone who fits any of these characteristics is cause for concern, but someone who fits two or more of these traits is a threat, and any family exposed to this is at risk, which would require government intervention, end quote. Is that the quote you were referring to?
Yeah, and that come from the godless lesbian that that she was.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
And by the way, what you just read, that was her statements, because it was the FBI, along with other police agencies, county sheriffs and police departments, more police departments, because they're kind of like the military arm of the United States government. They're the people that are in lockstep, stepping and fetching for the government. They tell them, here's the new policy. They snap to it, and they're there to enforce it. Forget the constitutionality of it all. But that, what you just read, was her quote about the trifold pamphlet that the FBI put out there from their counterterrorism unit. That's what they were trying to teach the police to be on guard for. People that had a faith. People that knew why the Second Amendment was there. These were anti-government people. These were potential terrorists. And that came from 1994, better than 13 years ago. Now they're not even asking any questions now. Well, they are asking questions, and they're trying to interview you at any given turn on your exact sentiments. Basically, what they're trying to do is get the temperature or the flavor of the people out there, or whether they're going to acquiesce and allow this globalist union to come about, or to fight back against the takeover that these people have enabled from the District of Criminals. That's what they're out there testing the waters for.
I wholeheartedly agree, John. Another thing, are you going to be able to arrange some type of interview with Ed and Elaine Brown over the phone so we can find out how that confrontation went when they were arrested?
I'm going to talk to U.S. Marshal Stephen Monnier, and I'm going to see if I can't, through his office, arrange to talk to the Browns. And I'm further going to ask him, you know, if you're out there asking about somebody that had posted a website and you're in there trying to mix it up, trying to make them look like they were aiding and abetting, I think I'm on that list, because I gave them a radio program and gave them a voice 5 days a week. So I guess that would make me aiding and abetting criminals out there. I'm going to test this guy's water.
Well, Dave Von Kleist would be included in that, too, I think, because he was on Nori. He was one of their close friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, John, what are your thoughts on mad cow disease? Because we have a case here locally in Tucson. I'm not going to reveal the person's identity because I've already stirred up some hot water. But the guy is, he's been diagnosed with Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, and, you know, the wife of the individual got all mad
Sheldon,
at me. And,
Sheldon?
Huh? Yeah.
I don't think you can put Mad Cow and Ed and Elaine Brown in the same phone call, can you?
No, this is a little off topic. I'm
well,
just saying.
And you know what, Sheldon? It's way off topic, and I thank you for your call. Okay. Ray in Oregon. Hello, Ray.
Hello, John. We've got to look at this thing realistically and with seriousness. The government has declared war on the American people. There's been a lot of talk in the patriot community and very little action. And you and I have had some words in the past. I hope that's behind both of us, because we're going in the same direction. Today,
just as long as you can still pick up a rifle and shoot straight, Ray.
There you have it. here's my point, John.
Yeah.
I've been promoting peaceful boycott, and that caught nobody's attention. They just wanted to talk about things. Not do anything, but just continue to talk endlessly with non-essential solutions that just went nowhere. Now, we've come to a point now with the arrest of Ed and Elaine that there's no choice in the matter. The American people either have to wake up and protect themselves or die. There is no middle ground. Now, I am not for aggression.
I am not either.
I am not for declaring war upon our government. What I am for is self-defense. Each of us have a God-given right to life and to liberty. And that includes self-defense, if necessary, when force is being exerted against us or our loved ones, our family members.
Excessive force, and the Supreme Court has already ruled on that.
Right.
That when you encounter force, extraordinary force against you, you have the right to repel that force.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I have armed myself in the past, long before this thing took place. And I will continue to be armed. I am a sovereign individual, and I am beyond the color of office legislation that governs most people who are subject to the corporate structure. So they have no jurisdiction over me. They have refused to answer the questions of jurisdiction for 5 years now, as you well know. My situation is the same situation as Ed and Elaine's. They refuse to show them the law. They refuse to answer the question of jurisdiction over a sovereign. That means that they're operating illegally. They are operating illegally. They are the ones committing the crimes under common law. Not their law, but common law. And that's what the American public must look at. What kind of law are they following? What they're following is public corporate policy that is declared to be law but is not law. And they are confused, they are conflicted, and they live in fear. But God's law says each of us have a right to protect ourselves and our loved ones, self-defense. When every man and woman arm themselves and go about their daily duties, whatever, activities, shopping, going to store, going to their place of business, but they arm themselves. What traffic cop is going to make a traffic stop without fear of what may lurk in that car if they are doing it unlawfully? If they follow the law and indicate that, I won't go into the last situation I was in, but it's on the Internet, on Make the Shift, or Make the Stand forum. But they let me go. I won't tell you. I was driving my wife on an emergency run to a hospital, and they stopped me for speeding, and they put me in cuffs and put me behind my wife was all banged up from a fall. And they had no concern for her whatsoever. We were about a mile and a half from the hospital, and they would not allow me to go the rest of the way to take her for treatment. And they kept me in handcuffs. They ran a check on me. They learned about the law, the judgment I have against the state of Oregon in the county of Josephine. The computer showed that I was revoked and suspended, which I'm not. And at the end of it, The issuing cop said, "I'm giving you a citation." I said, "I won't appear in court. You have no jurisdiction over me." The cop said to me, "I will not allow you to bait me into arresting you." So he put the citation on the dashboard of my automobile. They came back. They had four cars at one point and three cars guarding me behind the squad car. He put the citation on the dashboard, came back, unlocked the handcuffs, and told me I was free to go. Now, there's your answer as to jurisdiction. They answered it by their actions.
And it made no difference that you were previously a police officer.
I don't know about that. They knew that I knew what I was talking about, and they recognized that. They didn't agree with my position, clearly, but they released me. You see, if I were a subject under their jurisdiction, I should have been in jail. They should have confiscated my car. None of that happened. They let me go, and they allowed me to travel on to the hospital. Not drive, but travel. I have a right to travel, and it finally got home. Now, that's the point. We all are living under the illusion that we are living under law, but we're living under corporate jurisdiction, and it is not law.
Well, that's, Ray, that's why I've called them the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cops.
Well,
because a lot of them are just following policy. They're following their policy updates every morning in formation, you know, with their superiors. And they're not thinking as men. They're not thinking as Americans. They're not thinking of everybody that is bound by the very simple thing. And you take it a step further. But for these heathens out there, let me just keep it at a constitutional level. They're not thinking.
Right.
And they're walking around with guns and badges, and they're being told that, attaboy, you go get them. And not knowing full well what is in store for them.
Well, they just kicked up the controversy several steps with this, the manner in which they've arrested Ed on Thursday at 7:45 p.m., and no one knows his whereabouts today. They're dieseling him. They're torturing him. They're going to break him and parade him before the public, and I don't think they will. They may wind up killing him.
Well, to this point, that's conjecture. Now, we know that they're capable of doing such things. They've done it a million times in the past, and they'll probably do it a million times in the future if we don't put a stop to this. But at this point in time, I mean, I've heard that they've got them in Guantanamo Bay, for God's sakes. But
yeah.
I can tell you this, that basically what they handed him, and I don't think they're ever going to let the guy out of jail.
I don't think so either.
That's why I took Randy Weaver up there.
Yeah.
That's why I told the press that was conveniently cut out of every presentation that hit the website, because I was talking directly to those assembled that were from the media. And I said, here stands before you today a man that 10 years ago lost a wife and lost a child because of somebody's harebrained policy that they were told, here's your badge, here's your gun, go do your duty. And I said, and the government bought their way out of that without admitting any guilt, but paid off $3 million that had been put in trust for the Weaver family. That's the man that I wanted Judge McCullough to look square in the eye, not to have a silly-ass press conference up there.
Yeah. Well, you see, they sent Randy Weaver with an informant, trying to sell him a sawed-off shotgun, and then they turned on him when he finally caved in. They did the same thing. I'm sure they did the same thing. It'll come out to light that one of the four is a snitch. And
again, we don't know that either. Because I'm going to tell you what.
You want to bet, John, before it happens?
I don't know, Ray. Okay. That's speculation.
Well,
but I do know that I was inside Brown's house. And at the point of a gun and water boiling and torture or threatening me with the diesel treatment or Guantanamo Bay, who gives a rat's rear end?
Yeah.
Because I saw what they had in that house, and you know what? I had a smile on my face. For these people that somehow think that by standing up and putting your lives on the line in the ultimate defiance of tyranny is somehow politically incorrect.
That's mind control.
Boy, I'm telling you, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah. Here's my point, John.
Yeah.
Let us arm ourselves. Every individual, arm ourselves. Let the government, Blackwater operatives, concern themselves about their future. If we live according to God's law, and we use our God-given ability toward self-defense, it puts the shoe on the other foot. And that's what must be done. I do not encourage people to break the law, to go out and kill. But when you're put in the position of kill or be killed, you know, and the operatives use tasers, and they get brave, you know, with their. I had four officers covering me on a traffic stop.
Hey, Ray Karczewski, hang on a second. I'm going to carry you through the break, and I have something that I want to run by you. It just hit me like a bolt out of the blue.
Go ahead.
All right. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
There was a man several years ago that was a former police officer that decided that he understood what the game plan was, and he set himself a course to go out there and to educate fellow officers. And he's been more or less rendered ineffective by emails and blogs, and I'm speaking about Officer Jack McLam. He's on this network Sundays starting at 12 noon Central. And he put together a little thing called Operation Vampire Killer 2000, of which I've been after Jack now for I don't know how many years to do an update, because he could just use that as a rough outline and fill in a whole lot of blanks that when he wrote that, I think it was back in mid-90s, 96, maybe 97. Actually, I think it was earlier than that. But I would like to see Ray, rather than go confrontationally one more time, to reach out to these police officers, because they weren't born cops. They weren't born policy enforcers. They weren't born confiscatory officials of the respective corporation and kingdom and their own little fiefdoms. They were once regarded as being peace officers, not law enforcement. I would like to see you. Do you have your old uniform, your old cop's uniform, Ray?
No, I don't.
Well, that's too bad, because I would like to see you get together with Jack McLam. With the strengths of your convictions, I'd like to see Jack, before he gets too old and too feeble, to get out there again publicly with the uniform on, talking to cops and telling them, you know, stop this insanity.
I think it's too late, John.
I don't think it is.
Well,
because I don't hear the bullets zinging over my head yet, Ray. You know?
Watch out.
I know. But you see where I'm going with this.
I do see where you're going. I must decline on that. I've been writing for 10 years on the Internet, and nobody gives a damn.
Well, that's because you're not in their face.
Well,
And my problem...
You'd be surprised how many forums and news groups I've been tossed off of because of my views, and none of them are violent. That's the point.
Well, but there's one thing that you espouse that makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Truth.
Well, no. Truth comes in varied forms. You speak the ultimate truth. A lot of people don't want to jump on that bandwagon.
That's right. That's right.
And that is your separator. That is what's separating the wheat from the chaff.
I don't see that this can be done in an organized fashion. You do, obviously. I see that every man must understand who he is and who his allegiance is to. Mine is to God and to truth. I live my life in truth, and I am truth, and I speak truth, and I live truth, and I act truth.
Ray?
That I am anathema to a confused and to a conflicted society. I stick out like a sore thumb because there's a contrast that won't quit. Now, that is the problem with my manner of expression. I feel that every man must understand he has a right to live. He has a right to self-defense, and no government can take that away from him through dictum.
Ray,
arm himself,
yeah.
And if they come after him, protect yourself.
Ray, but that's individually getting picked off, and what I seek to do is to strip their belief system away from them, to lay it bare, to demonstrate to them what they believe or what they think they believe.
Well, you know, John, I was a training officer for our department, and when the rookies came in, the first thing I said to them is, you guys have got all great intentions. You're here to help people. You're here to serve the community. Let's talk in 6 months. I'll bet you not one of you will hold the same views. After every period of new recruits, I'd contact them in 6 months, and they've changed. That's mind control, John. That's concentrated mind control. And I couldn't do a damn thing about it.
But Ray, my point is you have to strip the falsehoods away before the truth can enter. You've heard the old saying that the nail that sticks up gets hammered first.
That's right.
Here's the question. Are you the nail, or are you going to be the hammer? There's the difference. Ray Karczewski, I thank you very much for your service for this country. I thank you for who and what you are. And please do call in again.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Ray. Clarence in Oklahoma. Hello, Clarence.
Hello there, John.
Hi.
That was a... Like I said, every time I call, I'll listen to three or four callers, and let's toss out what I had to say, and let's start all over again here. I haven't given a whole lot of my background, but I myself spent 10 years as a federal police officer. Federal. 3 years in the military, the United States Air Force, and 7 years as a civilian. And this was 30 years ago. We're talking, well, I was in Germany, I think about the same time you were, the early 70s. And that's when I did my Air Force time. I didn't go to Vietnam, just by the luck of the draw. And but I did my service there. And I remember that particular time. There seemed, I haven't kept that much up with local police departments or how they act. All I can know is the anecdotal evidence that I hear over the radio and reading the newspapers nowadays, and what I actually have seen on occasion myself. And there's been a change in attitude over the last 30 years. Now, I know what was it Ray there just said, that why did I get into that? I got into it for altruistic reasons, believe it or not, to help people. And, you know, most people do. But you have your bad eggs, your people want in because they're on power trips and everything. I was never on, never on a power trip. I pride myself on that. But I didn't get out of my own free will because of the agency I was at started phasing us out, and I ended up in just a regular job. But I would have stayed with it, but I'm afraid now maybe I was probably good to get out when I did, because it's not what it was back then. We have a different mindset, and this comes from the top of the bureaucracy right on down to the bottom of the bureaucracy. Any organization, as you well know, John, the leader of the organization sets the tone.
That's right.
They set the atmosphere. They set the mindset. The leader of my, I'm retired now, fortunately, but the leader of my organization throughout all those years was a man that sat in the Oval Office. I can't imagine right now. I couldn't do that job right now. Well, I couldn't do it for the last many years, considering some of the men that is sitting in that Oval Office.
And I would use that term lightly.
And yes, very lightly. I, even in my totally civilian status, I came to understand that the entire system I was working for was one big criminal enterprise. And it has to do with the incestuous relationship between big government, which is, someone says, been made twice as big under the so-called conservative George Bush, and the huge corporations and the international banks in this world. And I didn't know this until a few years ago. I didn't wake up till 4 or 5 years ago. It made my last 4 years working for them hell, because I knew. It's bad when you're on the inside, you're near retirement, and you know. And I knew. And,
Let me tell you something, Clarence. I had FBI, I had BATF coming up to me and handing me cards. And I would just look at them with a bemused look on my face like, yes. Oh, well, I'm not with the FBI anymore. I remember one young man, well, he was about 30-ish, that came up to me. And he handed me his card. And he said, I was lucky. When I went to, I almost said Guantanamo. where do they train the damned FBI at?
Quantico.
There you go, Quantico, Virginia.
Yeah.
He said, I was lucky enough. He said, when I was there and I was going through training, he says, a few of those old guys took me under their wing. And he was lucky, and he got the education. And he was told to keep your eyes open. And if there's any time that you're not proud to be a part of this organization, you get out your little cardboard box and you pack your nameplate in, your personal belongings, clean out your desk, and walk out the door and don't ever look back. And he handed me that card and he said, that's exactly what I have done. The same goes for BATF agents after Waco. Same thing. The men of conscience that would not abide by being a part of that walked away with their head held high, because on that day they discovered something, that they were men and they were men of conscience. And for that, there is no greater payoff that any man could receive than to know that you are your own person. And you can live your own lives. And you don't have to be connected with filth. You don't have to be connected with criminality. That you don't have to be a part of that which is doing other people harm. And that you can walk away from. I have had generals and colonels call me asking me for career advice. Do you think I should stay in the military? And I would ask them, well, why are you calling me on career advice? Well, we can see what's coming, and we just thought we'd discuss it with you. I said, you've got to make up your own mind. If I were in your position, general or colonel or major or captain, I would stay exactly where I'm at. I would keep my head low. And if it ever came down to the point that you saw this government take overt criminal actions militarily against the people of these United States, you take your men, you take your personnel, your armaments, and you hit the road with it. That's what I would do, general or colonel or major or captain. That's what I would do. Now, what you're going to do is going to be totally up to you.
I've never heard it said better, John.
Clarence, I thank you for your call, sir.
You bet.
All right. Now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Catherine in Montana. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, John. Excuse the frog in my throat right now. I'd like to read something to you, if it's okay.
As long as it's not extremely long.
No, it's
okay.
A quote.
All right.
From Samuel Adams, one of our founding fathers. If ye love wealth greater than liberty, the tranquility of servitude greater than the animating contest for freedom, go home from us in peace. We seek not your counsel, nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. One of my favorite quotes.
You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, Catherine. And if there is any greatness within me, it comes because I'm a part of something greater than myself. I am honored, I am privileged to be sitting behind this microphone, to be a voice, to be a conduit for others. And I will not stop. Catherine, I've said this earlier in the program, I don't know why the Fed hasn't showed up on my door yet. It could be that they've read my FBI profile, and God knows how many feet thick that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they understand one thing about me, that I'm not a game player. I speak from my heart. Anything that I do on this radio comes from me. It's not manufactured. It's not an on-air persona. It's not a different voice. It's me. And I think they know that. I'm one that will not compromise, nor will I bow down. What I am is holding the torch up so other people can find their way out of the dimness and out of the darkness. If that is my lot in life, I am more than happy to serve in that capacity, because I owe a lot to this country. Could you imagine, Catherine, being born to a third world backwater country filled with disease and hunger and oppression and just absolutely life as a day-to-day struggle just to survive, let alone live life? I couldn't imagine it.
I know.
I just couldn't imagine it.
I know. Well, the other callers that were talking about the policemen and so forth, I have written on many boards for since the 90s, and there is a big difference in police officers compared to what they were years ago. I'm 57, so I can remember when they were called peace officers or that sort of thing, not law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
And there is a big change, and the newer and younger people. And I have a lot of friends who are retired and older policemen, sheriff's deputies, that sort of thing, along with some of their younger family members. There is a vast difference, and it's not just, you know, the older people thinking, oh, it must be our imagination. They have a totally different attitude. Just that's all I can say without really having everybody upset at me, because I've said the same thing on some pro-Second Amendment boards.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you get immediately get called anti-cop and all this
kind
of stuff.
Yeah.
especially when it comes to concealed carry weapon or anything like that, you know.
Well, that,
and,
you know,
they just don't get it. They don't get
Catherine, it. Catherine, that's why I suggested to Ray, and Ray's got a great-looking beard. I wish I could grow a beard like him.
Uh-huh.
But what I'd like to see him do is shave that thing off, get a haircut, don a police uniform along with Jack McLam.
I love Jack.
Redo Vampire Killer 2000 and do Vampire Killer 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And to use that very same mechanism, because we all feel the same way about law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
is that they are a necessary evil, but unfortunately what has happened is they have personified evil itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Jack McLam and the Vampire Killer 2000 is we as a people bought copies of that and gave it to every cop across this country. Now, as you said, we got a new crop of cops out there. It is time to wake them up as well.
Absolutely.
Catherine, I thank you for your call.
Well, we love your show out here, and thank you for your good work that you put forth and everyone else there at the network.
We're just getting started, my dear.
Okay.
All righty.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutrition minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com. Or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
You know, when I do things on this program, ladies and gentlemen, it is for a very good reason. I didn't even get around to telling you today about the forces that are at work to go into university. That'll take me some time to explain. I want to take one more call here. But as I said, I don't do anything without a reason. And we've been offering the Bill of Rights Handbook by Mike Brown. And it deals with judges and people that aren't accountable to anybody else when we actually have the written law, secular law as it is, the Constitution. But this is made in a format that you can fit in your shirt pocket. It's about 150 pages long. And we will give that to you free, along with the Pocket Constitution from Witten Printers that has some outstanding stuff in it. Outstanding stuff. And if you feel that you're among the privileged few out there to know the Constitution inside and out, well, so be it. You might want to review these books just for your own brushing up, so to speak. But I want to give you these two books for free, with a caveat. Ah, there's a hooky. I can hear you think, oh, there's a hook. Well, yeah, there's a hook. We're going to send you out a bumper sticker. And we want you to proudly and prominently display this on your car. Because we don't have enough boots on the ground. And I want to put this network in a position to be a force to be reckoned with. I don't care if it's not a commercial success. I don't use definitions a lot that the Matrix uses. Commercial success implies rolling in money and making dough, and well, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, because I know I'd plow that right back into this to make sure that every man, woman, and child in this country would hear the messages that are being delivered by this network in varying forms by different talk show hosts on a heck of a lot of guests. But now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time. Drop us a line at Republic Broadcasting Network. You can just address it, RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302. And make sure that's on the same line, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302. Round Rock, two words, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You're going to be flabbergasted. If I have time tomorrow, I usually have Bob Chapman up, and he'll be here tomorrow with us. If I have some time tomorrow, if not, I will explain this in further detail Wednesday as how we're going after the younger minds in this country, and we are going to do this nationwide at every college and campus across the United States, and we're going to need your help. All right, let me go to Ron in Texas. Hello, Ron.
Hello, John.
Yes, sir.
Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you. I appreciate everything you're doing and for the Republic Broadcasting Network. I really appreciate you taking the stand and making all of that possible.
Well, it's been only my privilege and honor to do so.
Well, it's a privilege to speak with you.
All right.
Just a couple of quick points.
15 seconds.
Okay. Well, if you remember back when Willie Nelson had his problem.
Yeah.
All his friends stepped in, bought his house and everything else.
Right.
And gave it back to him.
Yeah.
Also, you want to check out Etienne Le Boete, had a writing 500 years ago called The Discourse on Voluntary Servitude, and gives a great explanation of how people, a town or one individual or an entire country,
right,
submit to one tyrant and how they can get out of it.
Thank you, Ron. We're out of time. Appreciate it very much. Join us tomorrow, folks. With recent